on the phone line to take a look at these numbers and so much more. Dan Zwicker, he's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Dan, overnight, we received about 45 hundredths of an inch of rainfall. That stalled out the combines for a while, and I guess the marketplace looked at it and thought, what the heck? and then they dismissed it.
Well, they did, but on the other hand, the market's, you know, the day's not over with yet, but the market has been able to handle that F.C. Stone estimate, which was nearly 15 billion bushel corn crop and a 4 billion bushel soybean crop. So far, it's been able to basically shake that off, which I think, you know, if the bear can't get any downward push on a crop that size, kind of implies to me that a lot of the big crop is priced into the market, and the shorts are in this market are probably carrying too large a position for their own good. You know, if something, I do think the market is ripe for some kind of short covering bounce in here, just because it can do it and clean the shorts clock if they wanted to. But I guess if I was carrying a big short position, and after looking at the Stone report and the market can't go down on it, I don't expect Informa to be any bigger. I think Informa could be more modest. I mean, Stone was the big number back in September. Informa came in more modest, and then USDA was generally modest too. So we may have seen the biggest number, and tomorrow with Informa, we may see something a little smaller. And who knows what USDA will throw at us a week from tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But the market is deeply oversold, and basis levels are extremely wide, and I see some commercials having trouble buying cash corn and soybeans from the farmer.
Are you still of a mind that 308 is a target that corn futures will get to?
Well, it's still there. I'm not I'm not going to really bet that she's absolutely going to go there. But, I mean, you know, we have to be, I think, a little further along in harvest before one can probably get real bullish. We need to at least be halfway through, because if this crop is as big as what everybody's wanting to make it, we could run into some storage shortages, and that could force a lot of movement of grain into the pipeline, and that would put some downward pressure in it. So, you know, that downside objective could wait until we kind of get into first part of December and we get into expiration. Both corn and soybeans do have a seasonal tendency to kind of score some kind of October low during the first 5 to 10 days of October, have a tendency to recover some through October and November, and then corn kind of goes back down and checks that low out during December deliveries, maybe even makes a lower low. But soybeans, once they are put in the bin or once they've put away, they have a tendency not to look back. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not we're going to follow an average seasonal pattern. And I don't think we're really going to know that until we get through all these reports and see what USDA. I mean, right now the trade is convinced that we have a burdensome supply. Farmers are going to be forced to move grain into the marketplace at whatever the price is. Until they're convinced that that's not going to happen, one reason or the other, you know, they're going to keep the pedal to the metal and keep pressing this thing to the downside.
Earlier in the year, most were convinced that the export market to China for soybeans would be slackening. We have front-loaded the market for several years in a row, and it appears that may be the case now. Is there a difference this year, do you suppose, in that front-loading? Is it truly just front-loading or a smaller amount, or is China in for the long run again?
Well, a lot of that probably depends upon the South American crop, but you got to keep in mind, I mean, China, we are a big consumer of China's goods, and they ship them over in containers that goes to the Walmarts and the Sears and Roebucks and the Kmarts and, you know, all of your big department stores, whether it's toys or clothes or whatever. So they, in turn, then get U.S. dollars, and then they got these empty containers that are already here. So why don't they fill them up with soybeans or corn or whatever the case may be and then ship them back to China? So I think China is probably a long-term buyer of U.S. commodities simply because we are a big consumer of their goods. And I think that's one of the reasons why they stayed in the market last year longer than what everybody expected them. I mean, sending them to buying them out of Brazil and Argentina, that's not a very stable, reliable supplier. They're on strike, they're hoarding, the government's in chaos. And while I think Washington is maybe not a whole lot further ahead, but at least we're a little more stable than the foreign countries. And I think, you know, we did, there was a rumor yesterday that China was maybe kicking the tires on buying some corn. We did get a 175,000-ton sale here today of unknown destinations. I don't know if that's that China purchase that the market was talking about yesterday or not, but it is interesting that we did pick up a corn sale yesterday. So I guess I still have to go with the trend. The trend is still down, but I see signs that maybe a lot of the downside has already been priced into the market, and the market's hunting for a place to maybe start turning sideways.
I like, Dan, the idea that the backhaul makes the freight cost pretty cheap to put something back in, and grains and oil seeds and such would be a good thing to do. That's an interesting concept. Do they really do that, or do they put it on the Panamax vessels?
No, the container market is big, especially around your big cities. Chicago, we've got a lot of containers in that Chicago area. And they
freight to the West Coast, right?
I mean, yes, that goes on into the Pacific Northwest. That heads to the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, I just think China's going to be a good buyer. And see, this, while this dollar strength has been a detriment to maybe other foreign buyers, it's actually a plus to China because they get more bang for their buck when the dollar is strong, when they get paid in dollars for their U.S. Goods that they ship into the country, they might as well turn around and take those dollars and buy U.S. commodities for them. So that's the way I kind of view it, that China is going to probably be a stronger buyer than most people think.
Thanks so much, Dan. We'll talk with you again later today at 6 after the hour, 2 o'clock. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. Find us online for our ag programming at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.